Over 30 years ago, Paul and Joanne Wheaton bought a couple of acres of land not far from Traverse City, Michigan. Their wooded lot includes just over 100 feet of lakefront footage. When you think of the three rules of real estate, you know, location, 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 this spot can't be beat. Just beyond the unspoiled beach, sand dunes loom in the distance, and all around, wildlife abounds. With the input of the whole family, the Wheatons designed a small but comfortable cottage here to take advantage of the natural scenery. It was an experience that helped decide a career for one of their children.
Our middle daughter was 14 at the time and an aspiring architect. She had planned to become an architect, and she helped us design this place. So there's a lot of us in it.
Over the years, this cottage has become the traditional summer gathering place for the entire family. The Wheatons say they had always planned to spend their retirement years here, enjoying the company of their children and grandchildren and watching the sunsets from their deck. But if the National Park Service has its way, that's not going to happen, because in their eyes, the Wheatons are nothing more than law-breaking squatters.
Well, they're illegally occupying government property now.
Ivan Miller is superintendent of Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore.
This is, in fact, property and houses that are owned by the American people, and they all need a chance to be able to use what they have purchased.
Miller says the goal of the program was to stem development, return the land to its natural state, and make it accessible to everyone. The majority of the landowners sold to the government and left, but others, like the Wheatons, were allowed to lease back their property for a set period of time. As the leases expired, the former landowners had to move out, and most of them did, quietly. But now, about 15 leaseholders are fighting to keep their homes. Paul and Joanne Wheaton are among these resistors. They say they were deceived by the Park Service, tricked into signing an offer they didn't think was fair.
You have to take into account the times 20 years ago and our age. We didn't know how to react at the time, and we trusted and we respected and we feared in certain instances. I mean, we were law-abiding citizens.
Joanne Wheaton says they feared the Park Service might just condemn their property, leaving them with little or nothing. So they sold their cottage to the government, but were allowed to lease it back for the past two decades. Now that their 20 years are up, they're crying foul. The Wheatons say other property owners ended up with lifetime leases, while they were made to believe theirs was the best deal they could make. And the Wheatons point out some of the houses that will stay are right on the same beach as their cottage. Local resident Timothy Young says the wheeling and dealing that went on at the time is legendary.
There were no two deals alike. I mean, everyone's outcome was based on their resources, maybe, their positioning in society, maybe how valuable their property was to the national park. Some people could afford to get attorneys and go out and fight and get a better deal. Other people couldn't. So it's real easy to take this issue and come up with some really scary stories, and I think there's certainly some truth on both sides.
Park Superintendent Ivan Miller doesn't dispute the apparent inequities in the land acquisition. But he says the Wheatons and their fellow leaseholders shouldn't be painted as victims. They were paid for their land and for many years continued to live in this idyllic setting.
I'm sympathetic to what they're facing, even though I don't agree with them. You know, I can understand their predicament. But I think that the majority of the people around here and in the country understand the situation. They've just not been vocal about expressing their support.
In fact, it's difficult to find locals who will go on the record about the park issue. They say they want to keep the peace and don't want to speak against their friends and neighbors. But privately, most agree with local resident Timothy Young, who says it's time for the leaseholders to move on.
I don't know that there's any way that this could have been done where everyone would have been happy. This was a price that we had to pay collectively as a society, and some people were asked to pay more than others. We're asking them to give of their land in order to create this national treasure. And in most cases, they were compensated for it.
Young says in the end, the national park has been a boon to the community, keeping it free of sprawling lakefront development. Park Superintendent Ivan Miller agrees.
This is a very fast-growing part of the upper Midwest over here. And if we don't preserve these resources now for our grandchildren, you know, they could be lost.
While it might seem the Wheatons and other leaseholders don't have a legal leg to stand on, their lawyer has come up with an argument that may keep them in their homes, at least for a little while. Ray O'Malley represents the leaseholders. He says it's the Park Service that isn't holding up its end of the land acquisition deal, because a 1998 law puts a limit on the amount of time the Park Service has for demolishing vacated properties.
Well, based on the Section 327 of the Interior Appropriations Bill, that section says that if, in fact, the properties are vacated, that those properties have to be removed within 90 days of the leaseholder leaving the property.
O'Malley says the park is littered with buildings that were vacated long ago and should have been demolished. Instead, he says, they sit decaying, creating a danger to both visitors and the environment. O'Malley admits this legal maneuvering isn't a permanent solution, but his clients are hoping it might buy them some time to negotiate a better deal. Park Service officials have turned the land lease cases over to a U.S. attorney who's planning on meeting with O'Malley soon. Both sides say they're hoping to reach a peaceful agreement, but the U.S. attorney's office says if push comes to shove, the leaseholders will be evicted. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in Glen Haven, Michigan.